You're listening to Satellite Sisters.
What's a satellite sister?
The person you call when the best thing in your life happens or the worst.
The person that gets you up, gets you going, and gets you through.
And every once in a while, changes your mind.
This podcast is part pep talk, part weekly check-in.
Like grabbing coffee with a friend.
Thanks for being here. Welcome to the Satellite Sisterhood.
You're listening to Satellite Sisters, and we're so happy you're here. I'm Leanne Dolan in Pasadena, California. I'm a writer, I'm a producer, I'm a podcaster, I'm a mom, and this week I am happy to be home. I am going to tell you all about that. And Julie, you're here with me today.
I am, Leanne. I am your older sister, the eldest. I live in Dallas, Texas. I'm a mom, I'm a grandmother, a podcaster, all those things. But here's the question of the week, Leanne.
Yeah.
What do you prefer? Are you a window person or are you an aisle person on an airplane?
100% aisle.
Okay.
Because I have a little bit of claustrophobia, so that helps me on a plane if I have just a little bit of, you know, leg room. Also, I like to be a get up and stretch my legs and not bother everybody else in the row. So definitely an aisle person. How about you?
Well, I'm an aisle person too, Leanne. I don't know. Is it genetic? It is a family trait. I don't like being trapped in. Go ahead and knock my arm with the drink cart. I don't care. I want a free and clear path to the bathroom if I need to get there. So we have two aisle sisters today on Satellite Sisters.
We'll have to ask Liz what she is when we see her next, window or aisle. She is off this week. She is in New York for a couple of work things. And then she's also doing a panel on She Podcasts. We're happy to support that organization. And she's doing a virtual panel for them right now. Currently, as we record the show, she's virtually paneling. So, Liz, good luck. We'll miss you. See you next week. This week on the show, let's see, we have a lot of travel related things. I was off last week. I was on Martha's Vineyard. I was on Nantucket. And then unbelievably, I spent a night in JFK. So I'm going to tell you all about that.
That sounds wonderful. That just sounds like that was fun. Yes.
Can't wait to hear about that, sister.
Julie, you were in Colorado, too.
I was. And I have a tip. I went with my tennis team, Leanne. We had a delightful trip. But I have something that I'd like to share with all of our satellite sisters that I think will enrich your lives. How about that?
Oh, good. All right. Well, I'm going to tell you all about what I did on the vineyard with my friend, Liz Green. She's an artist. We did a presentation on creativity. So I'm going to go through some of the talking points that we talked about. It was called Cultivating Creativity in Midlife. We actually worked really hard on it, and I think it went over pretty well. So okay. I'm gonna let you in there. Julie, you have an interesting, entertaining sisters that you've been watching.
Yes, I am watching a South Korean drama called The Glory, and I can't wait to tell you about it. It's on Netflix with subtitles. It's excellent. Okay. Details to follow.
All right. And I am glad we are going to get to the controversy from last week's show. I missed it, but I saw the comments. Peonies vs. panties. So save it. We'll talk about it.
Okay.
About later. Really made me laugh when I saw the comments. All right. First of all, though, I have to tell you about the slumber party I had at JFK. Okay.
What?
All right. So I went on this trip. I went to two islands. Let's just face it. Islands are slightly more inconvenient to get to than, say, you know, landlocked places.
Yes.
So I went to Martha's Vineyard. I flew to Boston. I got fog delayed. I canceled my flight. I got on a bus. I took a ferry. Trip one. I was flying home, coming home from Nantucket, which is an island even further off the coast of Massachusetts. So I had to first take the ferry to Martha's Vineyard again, then get on a plane to New York, and then take a flight to Burbank, California.
Seems easy, Lance. Yeah. Very straightforward. People do it all the time. I don't know what's the problem here.
Okay. So I was really worried about the first two legs of that home trip. Like, I thought, oh, that Nantucket ferry, people casually said to me all weekend, oh, that ferry gets canceled all the time. Oh, people get stuck here on Nantucket all the time. Oh, yeah, the fog, the wind. I was like, uh-oh. So I didn't sleep at all the night before. But the ferry worked fine. Then I got to Martha's Vineyard, and I was a little worried there because I'd already had the fog situation. Oh, plane took off on time. I had, you know, what I thought was going to be a tight, you know, 1 hour turnover there in JFK to get on my flight to California. No, that didn't happen. I don't want to dwell because we can all whine and complain about travel season. We know it's going to be bad. I just experienced it. You know, long story short, 5 hours at the gate.
Actually, six hours
at the gate. The air conditioning in the gateway wasn't working, which meant that the plane on the ground got really hot. So they had to fix the gateway air conditioning because you can't turn on the plane AC till the engines are on.
Couldn't they just like open the doors on the jet plane or something like that?
You know, really, they were open. We were looking out the window, like the captains, they were. So they tried, or at least allegedly they tried. All you need to know is that we got a lot of changing stories for 6 hours until they finally canceled the flight.
Oh, no. Oh,
so
no.
By that time, it's 11 p.m. and you're in New York City and all the other flights to Los Angeles have already left.
You feel terrible. I mean, that you could just die of self-pity with that situation. Right, Leanne?
Well, I have to say this. I was a solo traveler. Like I am not stressed. I mean, I was not stressed out in this situation. I sort of accept the zen of travel, like time holds no meaning in an airport and things like that. And I did at one point channel my inner Liz Dolan. And as soon as I really felt like things were going south, I went and changed my ticket to the first flight out in the morning. There was a, you know, 6 a.m. flight to the West Coast. And I made sure I got that seat. And the second after I did that, they canceled the flight for real. And there were 150 people behind me in the customer service line. But I felt bad for the parents because they had to gate check everything. There was all kinds of nonsense like gate check everything right now, because that will make boarding easier when it's 96 degrees on the plane. Like they just can't. So there were parents that were holding infants for hours and hours.
Oh,
and hours.
Dear.
How about the folks in the wheelchairs? Like there was a 90-year-old woman there. There were three people who had had assistants and they left. So now they're just alone in the airport at midnight and they're 90 years old. I mean, so that things were starting to get, and the patients, people, passengers were starting to get agitated. So that's it. So long, I was set. I felt like I was, you know, in a good space. And I had my ticket for the first thing in the morning and it was, you know, 11:30. There's really no need to go to a hotel. Like there's,
first of all, wait, because by the time you get to the hotel, how long, you don't know how long that would take. Then you have to just turn around like 5 hours later, right? Because you need to be there. Or even earlier, if you need to go back through security, check your bag, whatever. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Okay.
So here's it. I just said, okay, I'm out at gate 20. I'm just going to stay at gate 20. Everything's going to be fine. And I have to tell you, Julie, it is a very short trip from sophisticated traveler to airport dweller. Okay. Like once it's after midnight and you're in JFK, you don't care. You're brushing your teeth in the ladies' room. I had all these witch hazel, you know, wipes, and I was like giving myself a sponge bath right at the gate. You know, people are bunking down on the floors.
Or just you don't care. Like you'll lie down on that floor, no matter.
Yeah, I mean, I did care. I couldn't lie down on the floor, but other people were. I mean, I lost my water bottle at some point in the day. So I ended up just borrowing cups from the coffee places that were fully closed. They're totally closed, you know, and they shut down allegedly.
So you're sort of looting coffee places?
Julie, I'm looting. I'm just wandering around. All the people are vacuuming. They're trying to clean, you know, it's just wandering around. And then when the travelers show up the next morning, like you can tell them the new travelers, you know, they're so fresh. They have makeup on. And you find yourself saying, oh, no, that phone charger doesn't work. No, you're going to want the one over there at the next gate. And they look at you like, do you live here? And I'm like, I guess I live here now. I don't know.
Yes.
Like
that Tom Hanks movie. You just moved in, Leon.
Yeah. It's exactly, you just totally get it. Like, you totally get it. There's such a natural rhythm. I mean, the city that never sleeps, the airport doesn't sleep either. Technically, they shut it down from midnight to 2, but it was, you know, still loud, still music, still things are happening while the cleaning crews are there. But here's some good things, Jill. You bond with your fellow travelers, right? We had, you know, 5 hours at the gate, like Sarah, how are you? The Yankees hat guy, the solo dad with two kids. Like we formed a cabal. We were exchanging information, you know, reaching out to Twitter to try to get some support. Thank you, fellow travelers. Everybody had a good attitude.
Good.
The next thing. If you were looking this summer for the worst check-in luggage drop TSA experience in America, don't worry. I found it. I found it. So you don't have to spend your time because unbelievably, Julie, at 3 a.m, I had to go pick up my bag at baggage claim. They had unloaded the plane.
Okay.
I thought they would just transfer it over to the next plane. So I was surprised when Sarah told me at 3 a.m., oh, I didn't see you at baggage claim. Did you get your bag yet? I was like, what? I had to go down to baggage claim, find my bag, recheck it, and go through security again at 3 a.m.
Oh, that sounds like a nice experience.
There were thousands of people at the JetBlue check-in. Huge international flights going out at like 5 a.m. all to South America, to the Caribbean, like families, huge amounts of luggage. Julie, I stood at the check-in for 2 hours.
No way.
At 3 a.m. to get back to the airport where I lived then. So
it seems like we should grow out of these experiences, Lynn. You know, I mean, it's like, okay, when you're 19, 20, you should have one of these experiences mm-hmm. where you're snowed in,
Right? Yeah.
Yes, we all have. But it seems like at our age, we should have graduated from this kind of situation.
There was one point at like 2 a.m. where I thought, boy, if I get murdered here at JFK, are people just going to say, what an idiot? Why didn't she go to a hotel? Like, have no sympathy for me. So I did think that. So don't worry. If you're looking for the worst place in America, it's the JetBlue TSA experience at 3 a.m. I found out I can sleep on planes. I was so exhausted that like the minute I got on that plane, I was like, oh, I'm on this nice plane and the seat is so comfortable. I was out. I didn't even hear the, you know, where the life preservers were, Julie. I just went right out for at least 2 hours. And then finally, I bonded with my fellow passengers on the plane. I, at one point, believe it or not, in my bag, my carry-on bag, because I checked my luggage, I had a few things that turned out to be key. Okay. I had a down vest, a little down vest. I had an extra caftan in there, Julie, that I used as as a blanket.
Okay.
I also put in my slides, you know, all the slides that everyone's wearing now, the athletic slides, and some fuzzy socks, because I thought that might be cozy. I had taken a red eye on the way out. I thought, I'll be glad to have that. Oh, Julie, I put those fuzzy socks on my slides, and I just felt good. And I thought, it wouldn't
be. Did you have a bathrobe in there, too? Because it seems like
next time. And so I've never worn slides on a plane in my life. I don't wear them in public. I basically just wear them in my home. But I didn't even change back into my sophisticated travel sneakers. So I'm on the plane with the slides. The guy next, everybody in my row has slides. They're younger kids. At one point, I go to the bathroom, come back. And then the guy starts looking around. He's like, oh, you're wearing my slides. It's even worse. I had one of mine and one of his on. I haven't even noticed. I had a size 12 Adidas slide on my. I didn't even notice. So that's it. I mean, whoo! But it is busy out there, people. Bring your patience. Put your slides and your fuzzy socks in your carry-on, and just oh my gosh! I mean, there are a lot of people traveling, and things are going to happen. And so I wish you all well. I wish you well. Stay positive. Stay positive.
And if you're sitting next to Leanne Dolan on a next flight, check your shoes.
Yeah, right. Oh, I mean, couldn't believe it. I mean, it was really funny.
Oh, my gosh. Oh, my gosh. So, well, Leanne, I have to say, I had a much calmer, calmer weekend than you did. This was as an end of season celebration for my tennis team. You know how much I love my tennis team.
Mm-hmm.
We took a delightful trip to Crested Butte, Colorado, which is a charming, picturesque, the mountains are great. It's in southern Colorado. So from Texas, it's a pretty good shot to get there. And so not the whole team, but many members of the team were there. And one of the activities that we did was we took a tour of historic downtown Crested Butte that was sponsored by the local historical society.
Oh.
They have a little museum right on Elk Avenue, which is their main drag in Crested Butte. And we thought, oh, well, that would be kind of fun. But, you know, historical tours, they could kind of be a snoozer too, right?
They can. Depends on your tour guide. Let's face
okay.
It.
Okay. Yeah. Well, now let me tell you about our tour guide, because our tour guide was a woman of a certain age. Okay. Her name was Glow, G-L-O, Lynn. That was her name. Okay. Okay, she was originally from Florida, but she moved to Crested Butte in the early 70s. Okay.
Oh, okay.
Rocky Mountain High. That was Glow's vibe. She was, you know, she was a hippie from another age, but she was there. The first 20 years that she lived in Crested Butte, she worked as a waitress in Crested Butte. And I can tell she would have been a very fine waitress, just the way she could command her audience, and she had great interaction. But then somehow she moved over and became director of the little museum in Crested Butte. Now, you weren't on the show last week, but Liz talked about, and she gave this out as career advice, our sister, that said sometimes you should just take jobs when they're presented to you, even if you don't feel like you're qualified. So I was thinking of that with Glow. Like, I don't know exactly how she got from being the waitress to being director of the Crested Butte Museum, but I think it was her tremendous enthusiasm and really excellent people skills, because we're out on the main street of Crested Butte, and pretty much everybody who passed by, Leanne, they would say hi to Glow. They knew her. And here's the thing about Glow. When she was recounting the facts of Crested Butte, starting with the Ute Nation that did hunting in this area, and then the coal miners that came from Ireland and Serbia and Croatia, Glow admitted right up front, she has about facts for about 80% of what she says. But then she uses like her own imagination and her own just backstory to kind of fill it all in. And I'm telling you, it really, really worked. So it just made me think about how, like, all these towns mm-hmm. all across America have, you know, small museums, historic societies, they give tours. And, you know, these are docents and directors, these are volunteers. And I think we should all take a little tour, you know, because this was so delightful. I mean, Glow told us where to go to see the best wildflowers. Now, it was on private land, Leanne. We drove onto somebody else's private land, mm-hmm. and we went up and we knocked on the door, and we just said, Glow sent us.
That's fun. Yes. That's fun.
And you know what? The guy said, go right ahead. So I think, you know, supporting your local, you know, and the museum was really good there, and it took a lot of effort, and there was just lots of chock full of interesting things. I mean, Crested Butte prides itself in creating mountain biking. Did you know that, Leanne?
I didn't know that, Jill. No.
They claim that they started mountain biking. Oh. So there you have it. That's a fact, Leanne. 100% fact, not 80% fact.
Okay.
But so that's my recommendation for the summer. Maybe stay out of airports, but take a local historic tour. Mm-hmm. Now that flying is probably out of your, you know, sort of near future, I think you're probably going to take a break after.
I'm certainly taking a break from JFK. I'll tell you that.
Okay. Well, I saw this article at discoverer.com, and it was ultimate roadside attractions. Okay. And doesn't that sound good?
That does sound good.
There are 8 of them. We're going to post the article because people are on the move this summer. But I just wanted to tempt you with some of these roadside attractions. Now, you and your family, you travel all the time by car. Do you stop?
Yes.
Are you allowed to stop? Because I know your husband sort of thinks of himself as a car racer. Okay. But if it's a good roadside attraction, will he go out of his way or stop to see it?
Yes. Especially if we're not, if we're just driving like to Bend, Oregon, like boom, up the five that we've done a million times. We're being timed and there's no stopping. But otherwise, he's a really good stopper. Actually, he's very strategic. He builds that into the day.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, here's one I want him to build into the day. It's the world's largest, are you ready for this? Kaleidoscope, Leanne. Okay.
Oh, fun.
See? Mount Trepper, New York. So it's in the Catskills. It's in the Emerson Spa Resort. At its Guinness Book of World Records approved, this is the largest kaleidoscope. It's 56 feet tall, Leanne. Now, you know you want to see that, right?
Yeah,
sure. You're going to put the brakes on for that one. Or how about this one? Also on the East Coast. So our listeners there, I would love to go see this because I love the rhyme, "The woman who lives in the shoe who had too many children." Well, if you go to York County, Pennsylvania, the Haynes Shoe House is there. It's a house that looks like a shoe, Leanne. Come on.
I got it, Joel.
All right. Now, on your way to Oregon, maybe you want is like sort of take a big wide swing out to Nebraska.
Oh, sure.
Something there that I think, because your family is very interested in automobiles. Okay. It's called Carhenge, Leanne. Yes. 39 cars, full-scale reproduction of Stonehenge.
Okay. Oh, that's cool.
Doesn't that sound good?
It does sound fun. Yeah, okay. I like that one. Yeah,
Carhenge in Alliance, Nebraska. Okay, I want to know if anyone's seen it. It definitely seems worthwhile to do. But this one you can go to see, Leanne, because it is on the way to Bend. It's in San Jose, California. Have you ever been to the Winchester Mystery House in San Jose?
I have not. But everybody else I know has, and I've seen the signs a million times. And so I just don't even really know what goes on there.
24,000 square foot mansion. It's on the coast. Okay. And it was built in the 1886 with the Winchester gun fortune. Okay. It took 38 years to build all the various rooms and mansions. It's filled with secret passages. It has a seance room. But here's the thing that according to lore, Sarah Winchester, who built this house, that the house is haunted.
Okay. Of course.
Haunted with the spirits of all the people who died from Winchester gunshot wounds.
Uplifting, then. Great.
Yes. Well, a nice spooky house. That sounds like fun, Leon. Come on.
Does sound like fun.
All right. So hit the road, stay away from JFK, and take a historic tour. That's it.
All right. Up next, we have some wedding information. It's the wedding season. We have some trends we're going to hit you with. Julie has a new story about fake sneakers, and I'm going to tell you about cultivating creativity in midlife. Stay with us.
Liz and Leanne here, and we are so grateful to have Osea support Satellite Sisters. Why? Because it's just a great product. Holy cow, do we love Osea's skin and body care. And you know what? This Mother's Day, just look no further than Osea. Spoil the moms in your life with the little luxuries from Osea. The moms, the stepmoms, the bonus moms, the people who bring a touch of something special to your life, aunts, grandmothers, they would love a little Osea this Mother's Day. And you can get 10% off your first order by using our code SATSISTERS at OseaMalibu.com. And Liz, you know what every mother and mother figure needs?
What?
More moisture, Liz. They need more moisture in their skin.
No kidding. I mean, really, the creams, the lotions, the oils, I love it all. That duo they have going. Oh. Like, you can't miss with the duo of Osea.
Liz, the mega moisture duo.
Yes.
You can literally see your skin get firmer, and it just delivers this full body glow. Okay, you know we have raved about the Undaria algae body oil. Mm-hmm. Well, pair that with the Undaria collagen body oil. Youthful, yeah. Liz. A youthful glow is going to happen. And it's infused with Osea's signature Undaria seaweed. So it just smells so delicious, doesn't it?
I know you're talking about giving it as a gift. I also suggest just giving it to yourself because you're worth it.
That's true. That is absolutely true. Okay, that moisture duo I mentioned too is a great value because you can save 16% plus the extra 10% with our code SAD Sisters. So this is it. This is a win-win-win Mother's Day gift. Spoil the moms in your life with clean vegan skincare and body care from Osea. Get 10% off your first order site-wide with the code SAT Sisters at OseaMalibu.com. And you get free samples in every order and free shipping on orders over $60. Osea is spelled O-S-E-A. So head on over to OseaMalibu.com and use code SAT Sisters for 10% off. Thanks, Osea. Liz, summer is coming up, and you know what that means? It means you're grilling and chilling
sure.
there
yes.
with your butcher box. What do you got going on the grill this summer?
Well, you know, here's the thing. Because I'm going to be up in Bend for a part of the summer, yeah. I'm having my box sent there, Leanne.
That's great.
Go on vacation with your butcher box is what I'm recommending. Yeah, either way, you're just going to buy meat and fish and stuff when you get there. Why do that? Anyway, I love their steaks. I love their scallops. The scallops are really good. And the chicken thighs, all good. I'm ready.
That's right. ButcherBox gives you peace of mind and easy to find high quality meat and seafood you can trust. It's 100% grass-fed beef, free-range organic chicken, pork that's raised crate-free, and wild-caught seafood. No antibiotics or added hormones. And as Liz said, delivered right to your doorstep. And you can customize that delivery plan, Liz, right? Because yeah. it can go wherever you want it to go, whenever you want it to go. If you want to delay it a week, you know, speed it up a week, you just go to your ButcherBox account and you can make that all happen.
It's so easy to manage online.
Yeah. And if you're like Liz, you can take your ButcherBox on vacation, which is... That's nice to have something familiar there.
Yes.
So if you want to take your meat on vacation, sign up at butcherbox.com/sisters and get our special deal. ButcherBox is offering our listeners a free for a year offer plus an additional 20% off. So you can choose salmon, chicken breast, or steak tips free in every order for a year. Sign up today at butcherbox.com/sisters and use code SISTERS to choose your free for a year offer, plus get $20 off your first order. Thanks, ButcherBox.
All right, time for a little newsy news, some news-like information, Julie. What do you got to kick us off?
Well, this is a kind of a big story. Patagonia is accusing Nordstrom of selling counterfeit items at their discount store, The Rack, you know, Nordstrom.
Oh, yeah.
So they are suing Patagonia is suing Nordstrom's. They're ending their partnership because they said that The Rack is selling, has been selling sweatshirts and t-shirts that have Patagonia tags on them, but they're not really Patagonia items. Okay.
Oh, that's a big deal.
It is a big story, Leanne. And Nordstrom has said they are reviewing the matter. It's a legal issue. Now, I don't know about a Patagonia's claim. And you know, I love Nordies. I love their sales staff there. I love everything about them. However, Leanne, when I read this item, I was like, aha, because a while back, I found the perfect tennis shoe. It's a Cole Haan tennis shoe, okay? It's called the Grand Pro tennis shoe. And it is perfectly, and you can wear it with shorts, skorts, skirts, dresses. I love my shoes so much. And they're white tennies, and I've kind of worn them out, okay? So I went online to The Rack. So I found the shoes, and they sent them to me. And you know what? They weren't exactly the same. Something was a little fishy with my sneakers. Okay. I mean, they were, I thought, well, maybe I ordered the wrong one. Like I had made a mistake, but no, they had the Cole Haan label on them. They had the Cole Haan tags, everything like that. Same Grand Pro sneaker, but they were different. When I put them side to side, I could see that the pair that I got at The Rack, like the sole was different, the front of the shoe was, it was like a copy bag. You know, when you see the Louis Vuitton bags that they're selling on the street, And you go up to them, and from a distance, they look like a Louis Vuitton bag. But then when you get a little closer, you can see that there's something a little off with it. With
right, this. The seam show, or right, yes. The quality is off. Yeah, yeah.
Well, I mean, I don't know. I never returned it. I never said anything to Nordstrom's. I've kept the shoes, so I have them. And then I see this article, and I'm just wondering if they're, you know, if this is another case where somehow the supply chain for however Nordstrom's rack gets clothes to the rack, that it's been infiltrated by counterfeit items.
Hmm. Yeah, I just saw a piece a couple weeks ago in the Times about now some of these fakes are so good, even the manufacturers can't tell. Like, they're everywhere and they're getting yes. better. But it's important to remember, if people buy all those fake bags that they know are fake, those are like the worst people in the world producing
yes, they are.
Bags.
Yes.
And a lot of that money goes to fund really, you know, really terrible things.
Human trafficking. Drugs. Yes. No, it's terrible.
It's terrible. So even the, you know, the fake Tory Burch bag you buy is just not worth it. But wow, Julie, you're breaking some news here.
I know. I was doing some investigative reporting, even though I didn't know I was doing it. So I'm going to
What's next? Will you feel like you have to contact someone now?
I don't know, Lee. And I'm going to take a picture. I'll put the shoe, the two shoes online side mm-hmm. by side, and you can see.
Who knows? There's probably somebody in the Satellite Sisters listenership that either works at the rack or works at, I don't know what.
At Nordstrom.
Or the government.
Yeah. Right. I bought these shoes during COVID. So again, I was so happy that they even delivered them. I didn't want to complain too much.
No one's blaming you, Joel. No one's blaming you.
Okay. Because I don't want to be part of that counterfeit empire. Okay. That wasn't my intention. I just wanted another pair of white tennies. Okay. Anyway, but I will keep you posted, or maybe we'll see what happens. But it's kind of
all right. Good. Yeah. Good. It's interesting to note. I'm glad you brought this up, because I do think people think it's not a big deal, counterfeit stuff, but it is kind of a big deal. All right. I have some wedding trends here, switching it up. But, you know, when you and I do the show together, we love talking about weddings. It does seem like it's wedding season. But did you know, Julie, that actually more people get married in the fall now than in the summer?
No, I didn't know that.
Yeah. Of all marriages, of all weddings that take place, over 40% take place in September, October, and November. With a very close second is June, July, and August, with about 28% of weddings taking place during those months. But, you know, we all know people getting married or going to weddings. You're the mother of the bride, the mother of the groom. My next book is currently about a wedding. So I've been really just investing myself in the whole wedding industrial complex, which is why these stories stuck to me. So if you have a wedding this summer, congratulations. Here's what you can look for, because according to Martha Stewart Weddings, which is actually a very good site, here's what's happening in terms of wedding trends. Julie, big is back. Okay, we had enough of the COVID weddings, the small weddings, the Zoom weddings, the only invite people you actually like to your wedding. That's over, Julie. We're back to big.
Okay. No more intimate weddings. Just invite everybody you know, just big old weddings. Okay.
Yes, that's good. Okay. So, you know, that's a trend you can look for. Okay. Another trend, the 70s, Julie, as a wedding aesthetic. Okay.
Oh, yeah. All,
everything has to have an aesthetic now, right? So as a wedding aesthetic, expect those 70s colors, expect the 70s vibes and the bridesmaids' dresses, expect disco balls everywhere, according to wedding planners. Here come the 70s. All right.
Okay.
I mean, I feel like that was a pretty good era. Those are flattering dresses, some of the 70s, and that's kind of fun. So that's great.
Yeah,
that's great. I have no problem with
that. I think the 70s.
Almost everybody looks good in like an Empire waist dress. So great. Go ahead, pick those. All right. How about this? Festive favors. Now, Julie, have you been to weddings where they give you like breath mints and, you know, chargers and things like that with the bride and groom? No, that's over, Julie. No one wants that anymore.
Cigarettes? Do we get cigarettes? People don't want lighters? What do we get?
How about warm cookies on the way out the door or a water bottle? Fine. I'll take it. That's fine. I don't need a luggage tag. But
that seems reasonable. I mean, it's a little, I mean, it's a nice gesture, but, you know, you really don't need those. Anyway, okay. All right. If that's the trend, fine. Warm cookies. I'm all for it. Yeah.
All right. Although it did make me laugh because my friends Kristen and Dave got married a couple of years ago. And guess what I found in my bag in the middle of the night at JFK? I found the mints from their wedding. And I ate quite a few of those.
Oh, God. Desperate times calls for desperate measures.
So I had a lot of Tic Tacs at 2 a.m. All right. Here's another trend which only serves to extend the wedding for even more hours. Because you know what? Modern wedding, 7 hours just isn't enough time. Right, Julie? You need a warm welcome. All right. So imagine you're getting married, say, at a church. Usually your wedding guest, you start at the church and then you would go to the reception place.
Correct.
That's not enough, Julie. You need like a half an hour, a welcome party so guests can talk to each other first. And maybe that involves a signature cocktail, Julie. Something
before
that goes,
church, you're having a cocktail? That,
I didn't understand this trend at all, Julie. Like, I don't know. You have like 8 more hours to talk to the other people at the wedding. Do you need a party before the party? Apparently you do.
Okay.
A warm welcome. That's what they're suggesting. And the same is at the end, a high energy goodbye. I will never forget our mother said, like, you know, you and I both got married in Edna Dolan run weddings, right?
Yes.
So that's 5 hours total. That included the actual wedding ceremony, right?
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Last more than 5 hours. I remember it was like 5 hours on the dot. She looked at me and said, you need to leave now. So at my own wedding, so I just got up, I got changed. It was time to go on the honeymoon. That's it. No more, Jewel. No more. Now you have to have the after party.
Oh, the after party. Yes. Those are really big. Yes.
All about that. Yeah. And the bride and groom doesn't leave because everybody wants to keep partying. And I would say, do they want to keep partying? Because now they've had the warm welcome. They've had 7 hours. Okay. But the after party. I mean, let those poor bride and grooms go. But anyway, warm welcomes, high energy goodbyes. And then finally, Julie, this trend, streamers are the new sparklers. Okay.
Oh,
I like sparklers at weddings.
I did too. I know our niece Megan Dolan had sparklers at her wedding. I thought it was really boffo. Yes,
it was boffo. But remember, we didn't know what to do with them, so we ran back into the tent and we almost burned the tent down. Right? That's what I. Yes.
Okay, that was a detail. Yes.
And they were like, "No, go out to the driveway so she can leave with sparklers." So I was like, oh, okay. Well, that's too many burns. They said too many ER visits from wedding sparklers. Streamers are the new sparklers.
Oh, okay.
So that's it. Okay. And then one last wedding dress trend, which I think is I enjoy this. Okay. Say Yes to the Dress, that great show.
Yes.
You know, we love it over there on the Learning Channel. I watch it all the time. They've had a profound impact on the wedding industry as a whole, because now everybody wants personalized service and a party when they buy their dress, even if they're not going to Kleinfeld's and even if they're not buying a super expensive custom dress. They want that feeling of personalized service and a party and inviting people in champagne. So, you know, RIP David's Bridal. I mean, they went out of business because people want this personalized service. So I thought that was kind of nice at any level, whatever dress you're buying. Yeah.
I agree with that because it is a very happy time and it's, you know, a happy occasion. And why not? I would have a party when you're purchasing the dress before the, what's that first one? The warm welcome party.
The warm welcome.
And I'm certainly not going to the after party. Okay. I'm out.
Oh, and here's an interesting note. I was on Nantucket this weekend. Do you remember we've talked about nap dresses quite a bit? How
yes.
Baby Hill has yes. Nap dress. I did not realize that was a Nantucket store. So there's a huge store all filled with nap dresses. And then I mentioned a couple of weeks ago that wedding nap dresses are now a thing where you can get married in a nap dress. I would like to report, and I said, you're going to regret getting married in a nightgown. But I have to say, I got on the ferry on Sunday morning and there was a bride. It was post-wedding and she was in a wedding nap dress. And it looked very cute. The day after the wedding was very cute.
Yes.
Just like to report on that. That's okay. Still think you're going to regret getting married in a nightgown. All right.
Okay.
Whew. Okay.
Just stick to your principles, Leanne. Don't give them up.
All right. Now, I want to tell you a little bit about the event that my friend Elizabeth Green and I did on the
What did you, what were you talking about there? Because you weren't just talking about your books.
It was a little bit different because originally Liz said, come do a book, you know, presentation in the vineyard. And I've just done a lot. And she is an artist there. She works, she sews, she beads, she designs, you know, things like that, like pillows and bags and stuff like that. She works for Sylvie's Bags on the vineyard, makes beautiful things there. But she also is a visual artist. And she does a lot of collage work. She rips and pastes and paints all of her work together. And she does amazing things. And she's just been a creative person her whole life. But the last couple, say 10 years, she's really focused on sort of producing at a higher level. And so I said, why don't we do something about cultivating creativity in midlife? Because both of us have had a little bit of a breakthrough, you know. I didn't start writing my first novel till I was 45. You know, that was 12 years ago. So both of us have had creative breakthroughs later in life. And I thought that would be a good topic for a talk. And she was in. She doesn't do a lot of talks like this. I think it's fair to say she doesn't do any. This isn't really in her wheelhouse. But we felt like we could pull this together ourselves. And we both realized that, you know, over the last couple of years, 10 years, say, you know, we become empty nesters. So that's an important part of midlife. Like all of a sudden you don't have you don't have the day-to-day caring of a child. That sort of frees up your time. We both lost our parents. So caregiving, aging parents, that's not a part of our day-to-day world anymore. And then the third thing is within the last 5 years, we both had cancer and went through that and kind of decided to reprioritize our life. So that was the inspiration for this. So I got to the vineyard and we'd had Zoom meetings before, you know, I'd worked the outline, I'd put together a PowerPoint presentation, which was exciting. Liz didn't even know what a PowerPoint was, but that's okay. But she had great artwork. So I got there and we photographed her artwork. But the first day was actually really fun because we just went to the beautiful library where we were going to be speaking because we needed the good Wi-Fi. And we worked on the presentation for 4 hours. Like, you know, going through it, you know,
was that fun? Wait, I know. Was that fun working with Liz in this capacity? I mean, because you're
fun.
I mean, she's, you know, she's your dear friend, but you haven't ever really done anything together like this. So that's
right. Yeah, I learned a lot from her and she learned a lot from me. So I think we had a ton of fun actually putting the presentation together, sort of diving deep into what is it that has sort of allowed us to kind of find who we are creatively, you know, at 50 or so. So we came up with like 7 words that we thought would help people move through the presentation. You know how I like to do that, Julie. Top 5 or organize the information in a way that makes sense and so you can remember it. So it's not just a long run-on sentence. So I wanted to share a couple. The first was start. And that, you know, I think people can get really, they have ideas and they get really held up about actually starting and diving in. You know, I told the story about taking my first novel writing class, and I had never written a word of prose. I'd never written fiction like that. And I signed up for a class, and I had the outline, and I felt like I was ready, but I hadn't actually written a page of the novel. And the first week of the class, the teacher said, okay, the first 3 people, Dolan, let's go, 30 pages by next week. And I was like, oh, okay, this is it. I got to start this book. And I always credit that assignment, taking that class and that initial assignment with actually helping me start my whole writing career. Like, I don't know. I could have easily just messed around, but never really started the novel until I had that.
Yeah, sometimes you need some kind of outside force to help give you the structure to start. Right. Yeah.
Yes. And now Liz picked the word experiment. And for this, she told a really interesting story because she had had some negative experiences with an art history professor and a drawing class who said, like, you're no good at this. You're terrible.
Oh.
Would really like crushed her when she was in college. So she sort of put any artistic desire she had aside. But then one of the many jobs she's had on Martha's Vineyard was caregiving for a relatively young guy. He had seizures. So she used to just have to watch him. And he loved pottery. The pottery was something that he did all the time, but he had this art studio and he had a million other things. And Liz is like, you know, in her 40s now. And the kid said to her, oh, you can use anything you want. And she said, so I started painting. Like, the paints were there, we're just creating art. And then I started doing collages. And then I started this. She said, I just experimented. I didn't think anything would come out of it. And I was surprised that I could do it, because I had felt like I had been discouraged from creating art by one comment from one professor years before. So I thought experiment was a good one too, because people think it has to be intentional, or I'm going to start this book, this mystery, even though I don't read mysteries, and I'm going to sell it for $1 million. Like, that's not really the nature of it. Just sort of trying something out and seeing if you can do it. Great.
It's sort of more of a low risk situation.
Low risk, right. Yeah, and we're afraid, you know, at some point, like in your midlife, you feel like you should have gained all this expertise so you can't do anything bad anymore or terrible, but you can. And it's kind of fun, as long as your expectations are that I'm just experimenting. And the last one I wanted to mention was finish. So my words were start and finish, because we all have a million half done projects, right? Uh-huh. That we've done, like, oh, I think I'll refinish this table. Or yes, I am going to scrapbook my child's whole life. And then you have all these half done scrapbooks, right?
Right.
But there's something super duper satisfying about finishing the project that you're working on. And I think that becomes a motivator to start again. So those were, that's just a touch of what we talked about during the presentation.
I love that, Lee. And, you know, and it's inspiring to hear about it. And it makes me want to think about, well, how could I be more creative? You know, like, maybe, you know, that this, I think it's a really good thing that you did. And I love how you two shared your very different creative experiences with a wider audience. Yeah.
I want to thank all the Satellite Sisters that came, because, again, not easy to get to an island called Martha's Vineyard. And they came by boat, and they came by, I mean, Pam, she brought her bike. She took the ferry over, and then she lives south of Boston. And then she got on her bike. She's like, I'm just going to ride from Vineyard Haven to West Tisbury. Well, when Pam got there, she's like, ooh, that was longer, steeper, and harder than I thought. Pam, I mean, God.
Way to go, Pam.
Great. Cindy was there, who lived on the vineyard. So she came by car. Nancy brought her daughter. That was great. There was a whole crew of Satellite Sisters that were, they lived on the vineyard, but they were told by their Satellite Sister in Buffalo, you have to go see Leon. So I mean, four people showed up that had never met us, but it was great. All sent by their Satellite Sister. So super fun. My hosts, I stayed with my friends, Natalie and Ray. Thank you to Natalie and Ray. And Liz's daughter, Alice, really helped us pull together the whole presentation. And she did all the, she had wine and cheese and sales and just, and name tags and a guest book. We had a lot of things there. So it was a really fun, really fun presentation. And I think we're going to try to do it, a Zoom version in the fall.
Oh, nice.
Online version in the fall, but not till the fall, because we all have stuff to do this summer. So that's it.
Okay.
Creativity in midlife. We were on it.
Hey, it's Liz and Leanne here, and we want to thank PROS for supporting this episode of Satellite Sisters. Now, you know, Liz, I've been out and about with my new book, The Marriage Sabbatical. Mm-hmm. The book is getting rave reviews. I'm very happy. But you know what else is getting rave reviews? My hair, Liz. My hair from PROS is getting rave reviews.
Leanne, I am not surprised. You have been on that PROS hair regimen for quite a while. I mean, you have good hair anyway, but now you have great hair because you've really paid attention to it.
Well, Liz, PROS is made for people, not hair and skin types. Personalization is rooted in everything they do, from their in-depth consultation to their made-to-order model. And you know what? I love the regimen they have me on. Do I take the hair vitamins every day? Yes, I do. Do I use my shampoo and conditioner made especially for Leanne Dolan? Yes, I do. I sometimes use the leave-in conditioner when my hair's really dry? I do. And I even have a pre-scalp thing that they give me. Okay, PROS, you're the boss. I'll take it. You tell me what my hair needs. That sounds good. And here's the thing. It's personalization, Liz. For millions of possible formulas, only one is uniquely Leanne's. Okay? And I'm using it. PROS isn't just better for you. It's also better for the planet, Liz. They're a certified B Corp, cruelty-free, and the first and only carbon neutral custom beauty brand. So pros, we love you. I love the photos of my hair. Couldn't be happier.
Photos of your hair. There are people in the photos too. That's the thing about a book tour. Everybody has their picture taken with Leanne and then post it. So the hair is important.
Couldn't be happier, pros. Pros is so confident that you'll bring out your best hair and skin. They're offering an exclusive trial offer of 50% off your first subscription order at pros.com/sisters. So you get your free consultation, then 50% off at pros.com/sisters. And pros is spelled P-R-O-S-E, pros.com/sisters. Thanks, pros. Liz, you know we love talking about Framebridge, don't we?
We do. because there are just so many fun things to frame, Leanne, aren't there?
Right. Anything. You can just upload a digital photo from your phone and they can print it and frame it. And that is a gift right there, a gift people would love getting. But Liz, you recently had quite an exciting Framebridge experience. Would you like to share?
I talked about how when we were at the Bruce Springsteen concert, I was with our brother Dick, his wife Susan, his two kids, and one of the roadies threw us the set list at the end of the show, which was amazing to get the actual set list for the actual concert in Los Angeles. And we're like, oh, yeah. Any day now, that's going to be in a place of honor in their home. Sure enough, Leanne, they have already frame-bridged it and sent it to us with a picture. So I'll be in Bend next week, so I'll get to see it. But it's just excellent use of the Framebridge resources, the Bruce Springsteen set list.
Fantastic. And this is gift-giving season. So if you have a graduation coming up, a wedding, a shower, Mother's Day, Father's Day, look around. I'm sure you have something fun you can frame, and Framebridge can do it for you. It's easy and it's affordable to frame just about anything. You get fair and transparent upfront pricing based on the size of your item. There's a great selection of frames. And as we've said in the past, fast service, free shipping, great for gifts. Mm-hmm. And guess what? Liz, not many things in life give you a happiness guarantee, but Framebridge does. If you're not 100% happy with your piece, they will make it right. So if this
but
sounds like...
But you're going to be happy, okay? Yeah. That's just the Satellite Sisters promise. You're going to be out. You're going to be happy you did it.
See why Framebridge has been trusted to frame over 2 million pieces. Visit framebridge.com or see a local Framebridge store to get started and custom frame just about anything, like a Bruce Springsteen set list. That's framebridge.com. Thanks, Framebridge.
Selena and Julie, we're back. Liz is off this week, but she'll be back next week. We have a couple good weeks of shows. We have some guests coming up in the next couple weeks of shows, Jewel. I know. I have to get back in my producer mind. So we have to
take those slides off, Leanne. I don't know whose slides you came off the plane with, but you got to get back to it. Got to get back in that producing chair. Got to get to work. Got to pull us together, Leanne. We missed you. We need you. All right.
Yeah. So we got stuff happening in the next couple of weeks. We have including a 4th of July show. So we're on it. We're on it for you. We also have the Satellite Sisters weekend coming up in Minneapolis. There are still tickets left. We would love, love, love to have you. It's October 13th, 14th, and 15th. There is going to be, we're just doing creative things, Julie. We're doing icebreakers. We're meeting up. We're going to get some name. You're going to have name tags. There's going to be a dance contest, a costume contest. We're doing a live podcast. There's going to be plenty of time to chat and hang out. And maybe now everyone will take a historical tour. Julie, we don't know. We don't know what people are going to do in their off hours. But
yes. I think that would be great, Lynn.
Okay.
All right, Leanne, I've been spending a lot of time on Etsy, and there are some excellent Mamma Mia dance outfits.
Okay.
So I just wanted to mention that for people who are going to come and enjoy the dance party.
Right. I think, we have to have a sidebar on what we're going to get. We got to get our outfits coordinated.
Yes, we do. Okay. Yes, because I'm ready to move. We're going to go big on this, Leanne. Didn't you tell me that's one of the trends now? Big. Yes.
70s. 70s. Big. Disco balls all happening at the Satellite Sisters big fun weekend. So we'd love to have you. Head on over to satellitesisters.com for more information and to get your tickets. All right, Julie, Entertaining Sisters. This is a new category of drama for you, isn't it?
Yes, it is, Leanne. I want to recommend a show, a South Korean. It's a 16-part series on Netflix with subtitles, and it's called The Glory, okay? And the premise of this show is a former victim of school bullying and violence plots and executes her revenge on the bulliers. So this is the victim, Moon Dong-un. I have to say, like, when you think about school violence and bullying, I mean, this portrayal is very intense. It's very intense to watch. But she is tormented by these five other students. And so years pass, and now Moon Dong-un is plotting very, you know, each week. It's like a slow burn. She's carefully plotting her revenge on these former students. So it's extremely well acted. It's an ensemble cast, Leanne, that has won a number of awards in South Korea for their acting, including Best Picture, Best Actors. The characters in this are so interesting and well-drawn. There are lots of subplots, beautiful, beautiful cinematography. I guess that's what you call it. I mean, the scenes of South Korea, of Seoul, and some of the other locations. But the story itself is so compelling because you see how, like, the damage that bullying does to an individual that you would seek this kind of revenge. So, I really recommend it. Okay. This is the first sort of South Korean drama I've ever watched, but it's very well done. And it's called The Glory on Netflix, 16 parts. So each episode is about 50 or 60 minutes.
No.
Slow burn. It's coming. It's happening. And it's just not going to be good. Okay.
All right. Okay. Julie with the K-drama, The Glory on Netflix. All right. I thought I would tell you a little bit about the Nantucket Book Festival. Some of the authors I got to see this weekend.
Okay. That's the other island you were
hopping. The other island. More islands. So after our event on Martha's Vineyard, we decided to just go to the Nantucket Book Festival that was happening. I was not appearing or anything. I was just a fan, just a tourist. I'd never been to Nantucket before. It's a super charming step back in time, like whaling village from the 1600s. It's so preppy. Oh my gosh. You know, I knew that in my heart, but just it's been a long time since I've been around that many people in Izod's. I mean, just really a long time. It's a very preppy island, but they run this beautiful little book festival where all the events are free. They attract a lot of really sort of highbrow authors because who doesn't want to go to Nantucket? Many of the authors already have places on Nantucket. It's a place where authors go. And it's just low key and it's very convivial. And all of the events take place in these beautiful historic churches.
I bet they have a good historic tour in Nantucket as
yes,
well.
Yes, we did not get a chance to take it. I wanted to, and also they have a good whaling museum, and I did not get there either. But next time we were there for 48 hours, and we really went to a lot of events. So a couple of highlights for me. The first night they did an opening thing where they had four authors talk about do a 7-minute speech on freedom.
Oh,
what
wow.
Freedom means to them. So, and you know, it's everyone from like Sebastian Younger to Jodi Picoult to Luke Russert was the one that I particularly like. So this is the son of Tim Russert, the late Tim Russert, and his mom is journalist Maureen Orth. He was a journalist at NBC himself for a bunch of years, but he's taken time off to become a writer. And he has a new book out. It's sort of a travel log, but it's called Look for Me There, Grieving My Father, Finding Myself.
Oh,
and he's a very, very thoughtful guy. And his definition of freedom, he had, you know, a bunch from his experience, but it all sort of came down to love and self-expression. And it just was very heartwarming. And I thought, okay, now I'm going to get that book. Like, I would like to read this book now. Just he was just a very thoughtful, smart, interesting guy. So I appreciated that his definition of freedom was about, you know, surrounding yourself with family love. So just a really lovely.
Okay, that's now I want to buy that book too.
Okay, okay. So there you all go, right. Joel. So okay, Luke Russert. All right. The next day we got up early because one of my favorite historians, Stacey Schiff, was there. Okay, she wrote the great book about Cleopatra. She was on Satellite Sisters for that. She wrote The Witches, came out a couple of years ago. You know, I like my witches.
I know.
And her new book is about Samuel Adams, right? Revolutionary War hero Sam Adams. And, you know, when you're on Nantucket, you feel compelled to when you're in Massachusetts in general, you feel compelled to get as much Revolutionary War history as you can. So she was being interviewed by Nantucket hero Nat Philbrick. He writes a lot about sailing. He wrote The Perfect Storm, for instance. That's not correct. That was Sebastian Younger. He wrote another book about sailing that sounds like The Perfect Storm, but it's not. But anyway, so they did a fantastic interview about Sam Adams, sort of the lesser, you know, the unknown Adams, as opposed to John Adams. You know, everybody knows a lot about John Adams and his wife, Abigail Adams. Sam was sort of the late bloomer in the family. You know, he really didn't pull it together till he was in midlife. But just fascinating stories about, you know, his influence in the revolution and how so much of the stuff that he was doing then is very similar to now. Like at one point, he was writing letters to the editors under 30 different pseudonyms to sort of, he was like his own Russian bot. Like he was a great writer on this stuff. So he wanted to foment the revolution. So he couldn't just be Sam Adams all the time. He had all these pseudonyms and he'd write letters and they'd be published in papers and you know, printed and handed out to people on the street. And he used all these different pseudonyms. Isn't that cool?
That's pretty darn clever.
Okay. Yeah. So that her book about Sam Adams sounds really good. So put that on your list. And then one of the highlights for me was a conversation between Jodi Picoult and her co-author, Jennifer Finney Boylan, about their new book, Mad Honey.
Oh, what's that about?
So so I read this in preparation for this book festival. It's a whodunit. It was sort of a who's telling the truth thing. And it's a story. It's a sad story about a young girl who dies suspiciously. And her boyfriend, who was arrested and tried for the murder. Okay.
Oh, okay.
But there is a twist in the middle of the book when I did not know going into it. And if you don't want to know, you should forward ahead 30 seconds because I'm about to tell you the twist. The twist is that the girl is transgender. So you don't know that till halfway through the book. And Jennifer Finney Boylan, the co-author, she herself is a college professor and a writer, and she is a transgender woman. So it's just a very complete picture of that whole experience. And so they had never written together. Jennifer Finney Boylan had a dream that she wrote a book with Jodi Picoult. And so she kind of tweeted it out. And Jodi's like, well, what's it about? And she DM'd her like, well, here's the plot. And Jodi's like, we should do this. And that's how it happened.
Well, that's like an amazing story, Lynn. Yes.
Yeah. Okay. And so it was a really fun discussion, but serious because they're both super thoughtful about like the work they do. And so many of Jodi's books have been banned and she covers topics that a lot of people have a certain level of discomfort about. And Jenny Boylan was just super funny and lent her own perspective. It was just a wonderful conversation. And I really enjoyed the book Mad Honey. So those are like three books I wanted to highlight. But if you're ever thinking of going to a small book festival or going to Nantucket and you kind of want an organizing event, this is super fun. Just lots of information. You can converse with authors on an informal basis. People were just chatting on the streets and in restaurants and just a really warm, convivial feeling for this book festival. And as I said, like 95% of the events were totally free, not even ticketed. You just kind of have to register. So it was terrific. It was terrific. I loved it. It was fun.
Wow, Lynn. Okay.
Yeah.
A weekend.
In fact, one of the women I met on the street, we were chatting. She is opening a new bookstore. So if you live on Cape Cod, and I know we have a lot of listeners that do, if you live near Plymouth, Mass, you are going to be getting a new indie bookstore. So there you go. There you go. New indie book called Book Love. That's going to open in the fall. I met her. Book Love. All right. Anything else, Jewel, or is that it?
I think that's it, Lynn. We got to the end. Yes, we're wrapping. Yes.
All right. We'd like to thank Sergio Enriquez, our engineer. Thank you, Sergio, and Emily Loudermilk. I think Emily has a new name because she's married now. I gotta make sure we're giving him the right credit under the right name. She did get married a couple weeks ago. So, Emily, thank you so much. Best wishes to you. All right. Our to-do list, Julie, please, what
Okay.
Go for it.
On my to-do happening. I want on my to-do list, Leanne, I want to address the peonies, panties, dilemma that came up last week. Okay. Last week, I did on the end of the show, I declared National Peony Day and urged listeners to run, not walk, to Trader Joe's and get some peonies for under $10. Okay. But when I said peonies, I did not say panties, but people heard panties, not peonies. Okay. So Michelle and Karen and Roxy and Kathy and Leanne, Jessica, Julia, Janine, Tandy, Peggy, Mary, Carla, Becky, Nicole, Jerry, Donna, Anne, Carrie, Tara, Natalie, and on, they heard panties. They heard Julie Dolan urging people to go to Trader Joe's to get panties, not peonies. Okay, Leanne. Okay, National Panty Day? Do you think I would actually put that on my
celebrate that? Yeah.
Okay. And just in what section of Trader Joe's am I going to find panties? Are they next to dairy? Okay. Wines? Check out where are the panties in Trader Joe's. Now, I listened back to the show. I thought I said peonies, but people heard panties. Okay. They're very close. But I want to assure people.
It's just, I have never heard you say the word panty in your entire life. Like, first of all, we're really just underwear people or undergarments. Like, we are New Englanders. We don't say panties. What the? Panties.
Well, people just had a ball over at our Facebook group, Leanne. Okay. They howled. They laughed. They laughed and they howled. There was just, they really had some fun with that. So thank you. I appreciate all your comments. Okay. It made me laugh too. Okay. Peonies, panties. Okay.
Well, Julie, I can't top that. So my to-do list is I'm just going to Trader Joe's to get some panties. That, who knew?
Who knew? Organic panties, Leanne. Or peonies, which either one you want. $10, under $10, too.
All right, that's our show. Hey, Julie, have a great week.
You too, Leanne.
And don't forget, call your satellite sister.